That folks hear me? Good evening again. I wanted to spend some time tonight talking about reading the Bible and getting into God's Word. And I think it, I pray that it'd really be helpful to you today. I wanted to be a little practical too, so I'm going to ask some things of you and maybe ask what are some things that hinder or prevent you from reading regularly or getting a lot out of the Scripture, things that you think are hindrances that you could bring up that we could talk about, or things that you have done that have really helped you as you've read the Bible that you'd like to share, and it could be an encouragement to all of us. It's exciting to see the number of people that really participated in getting into the Word over the last year through the Bible reading schedule, and I trust many more are getting into the Word, but this is one way we can kind of get into it together, and so I'm excited about the opportunity we have to continue that this year. A key verse that really has come to my attention is 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 13, and if you want to turn over there, 1 Timothy 4, and verse number 13, that'll be the passage we start off with tonight. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13. All right, it's just one verse of Scripture. This is Paul's letter to Timothy, and this is his instruction to Timothy. Timothy is serving as a leader in the church at Ephesus, and here's what Paul says to him. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So reading is the reading of the Scripture. The exhortation would be the encouraging, the calling people to do what it says, and doctrine is the teaching of the passage. So Paul says, this is what you need to give attention to. This is what you need to focus on. This is what you need to make a priority. If you're making a New Year's resolution, Paul says, these are the things that you should pay attention to. Reading, exhortation, and doctrine. And surely we need this. We need the Word of God. If you just think about how often do you face temptations? Is it every day? How often do you face problems and pressures every day? Then how often do we need guidance and instruction and encouragement? Every day. Every day we need the Word to catch up on all the things that come our way. We desperately need to hear God. We need to hear His voice. We need to feel His comfort and encouragement and to know His power. D.L. Moody is a long gone evangelist, but this is what he said. A man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future as he can eat enough for the next 6 months or take sufficient air into his lungs at one time to sustain life for a week. We must draw upon God's boundless store of grace from day to day as we need it. So I pray tonight would really encourage and help you to do just that, to draw on the Scriptures day after day for the hope and the strength that you need. So what is it we need to do to get the most out of God's Word? It's really not very complicated. We need to hear what God says. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to meditate on it, memorize it. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we know we need to hear the Word. What do we mean by hearing the Word? We can hear it by what you're doing right now, listening to sermons. You can hear it by listening to it on audio or listening to things online. Hearing the Word of God. So what I want you to think about is what we can do to make sure that we're hearing well. What are things that hinder us from hearing the Word? In church, There's things that might hinder us or distract us. What are some things that hinder us from hearing God's word in our lives? Anybody want to share something that is a hindrance to hearing the word? There's quite a few scripture passages, yes. No, no. Hearing other stuff, distraction, meaning somebody coughing or kids running around or people whispering. Oh, watching TV at home. Oh, okay, you're not talking about in church. Yeah. Okay, Lee?
I mean, personally for me, I like to use that first time of the day, that first part of the morning.
Okay.
To be in the Word, but sometimes there's that temptation, like Alan was saying, sometimes worldly news and stuff that's happening around us crowds in and tries to squeeze out that time.
Sure.
To take our attention away from where our attention really should be.
Sure. Sure. Yes.
If you have a day where you don't feel well or you're tired, it's easy to kind of put that to the side because you're not feeling well, and it does take effort to breathe and to hear the Lord. So, and that's the time when you need it the most.
Sure. So we've got noise, other noise, distraction, and we've got physically just feeling down. Yes. Sure. Sure. You can come and sit and be being preached to and be thinking about other things. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that I just really was such an amazing speaker that no one could not think about what I was saying. Too many laughs there. No, it's good. Now, I've had my mind wander off listening to people who are really good preachers, and I've also had it wander off to people who are not so good preachers, so you can do it either way. There was somebody else, Cherith, did you?
I was just going to say lack of planning it.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. So hindrance being not planning, setting aside time, and with schedules changing and with little ones at home, that's challenging to do. Somebody else got a hindrance. These are all like just, oh, Mike, your hand.
But in reality, you take time to do other things that take precedence over God's work.
Yeah.
You eat and you kick back. But like I said, it's a perceive that you're just too busy.
Sure. Sure, we think we're too busy. One of the verses that I think I have on here, if I can find it. There we go. Joshua 1:8. This was Moses' instruction to Joshua as Joshua is about to lead the people into the children of Israel. Into the children of Israel. Into the land of Israel. That's what I mean. Lead the people into the land. And he said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So if Joshua is the military commander and the political leader of the entire nation, and yet this is the key to his success, kind of takes away my excuse of being too busy, because I'm not the head of state over a couple million people and the military commander leading an army in on a conquest. And yet he's still supposed to meditate day and night on the scriptures and make that his focus. I think those are all real concerns when it comes to reading the scriptures and spending time hearing the word. Other things can keep us away from hearing the word that are that are just wrong. In Matthew 5 and verse 24, Jesus gave instruction that if you realized you had a problem with your brother, that you were to leave your gift there at the altar. Instead of bringing it, you were to stop and you were to go deal with that problem first, and then you were to come with your gift. The idea is that if we have unresolved conflict, unresolved problems, you know, it's kind of like when you're a kid and you have to get called to the principal's office. You start thinking about all the things that you did were wrong. Or once in a while, even as adults, this happens. Your spouse may say to you, "Hey, I really need to talk to you." And you immediately start thinking about all the things that you've not done very well. And you wonder which one of them you're going to have to talk about when you come there. When you have these unresolved things in your way, it hinders you from coming to the Word. Because if you know there's something that you need to deal with God, coming to the Bible doesn't become something that's a great comfort. It becomes something that's a confrontation. Like, here I am, Lord, I still need to deal with this. And it convicts us. And it's a good thing that coming into contact with the Holy God, it reminds us of our faults. But if we want to eagerly hear from Him and learn from Him, we've got to be willing to come and confess those things to the Lord. So when we don't do what we know God wants us to do, it hinders us from hearing from God. So a couple of things that we can do to help us is we need to prepare our hearts. Psalm 119 says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." And if you just want to get your heart in the right place for reading the scriptures and hearing from God, just turn to Psalm 119 and pray along with the psalmist as you read through. So what would it look like to pray along with the psalmist? Well, I mean, this one's pretty easy because these are basically prayer requests where you can take this and you can make this your prayer to God. Say, "Lord, would you teach me? Teach me the way of your word. Show me how to live the way you want me to live." Say, "Lord, if you'll show me what to do, I'm committed to doing it. Help me, Lord, to see what you want so that I can do it. Lord, give me understanding. I'm reading all this about you. Help me to understand what you want me to do, and I'll follow you, Lord. I'll follow you with my whole heart." And it's just an example of taking a couple of verses, turning it into your own prayer to God. And you can walk through Psalm 119. If you look at Psalm 119 in your Bible, it's divided up into 22 sections of 8 verses. And you can take 8 of those verses and you can make that a little guide for your prayer about the scripture each day. And with the Bible reading plan that we're following right now, there are 25 daily readings. So if you take one of those sections of Psalm 119 just as a little prayer guide before you get into the scriptures, you're preparing your heart by saying, "Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to follow you. I want to walk in your ways." Now you can use one of those sections, and that covers almost the entire month's worth of planning, and it will guide you and prepare your heart to hear the word. You know, not just your Bible reading, but when you come to church. I know it is easy to be busy doing all sorts of things and run to church and sit down and then try to get your heart focused on the Lord. And you can do that, and you certainly should, but it's so much better to do it before you come in. You know, even if it's just you pull into the parking lot and you stop for a minute and you pray and ask the Lord to help you before you come in, to focus your attention on Him. Or if you do it before you leave the house with your family, go ahead and seek God in your heart. Say, Lord, I want to be able to come to church, and I want to be able to be a blessing to somebody else, and I want to hear from you. Help me to get something out of the message. Prepare your heart. Psalm 119, again, is full of verses like this. I picked out another one, verse 103, where the psalmist says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." There's a desire there to hear and to learn. There's a hunger to get the word. And we believe that the Bible is God's word, that it has the power to change us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to guide us. So we ought to come to it saying, Lord, teach me from your word. If you want to get a lot out of the scripture, prepare your heart, desire to get a lot out of it. You want to confess sin that you know is in the way. Psalm 66, 18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." Now, what does it mean to regard iniquity in your heart? Iniquity, sin, to regard something. If we think about regarding something, we think about treasuring it. We're placing it in a place of prominence. It's something that we are deferring to. So if we are regarding iniquity, then we're holding on to sin. It's not just, well, if I sin once, the Lord won't hear me. Well, then none of us have any hope at all, right? But this is something we know that we're not dealing with, something we're not battling against, something we're not confessing. It's something we're either ignoring or we're covering up. And if we come to the Lord with those things, Psalm 66, 18 tells us the Lord will not hear. So if we want to hear from God, if we want to have a good relationship with God, we need to make sure that we're confessing our sins, that we're dealing with those things. Like Jesus said, leave your gift at the altar, go and deal with it, then come. That ought to be something that we do as we come to the Word of God. As you try to hear from the Lord, some days you hear, well, better than others. Is that a good way to put it? Some days you get more out of it than others. So what should you do on those days you don't seem to get a lot out of it? Well, you keep on listening. You keep on seeking, because that's what a wise man does. Proverbs 1:5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain to wise counsel." So keep on seeking. Don't give up. Keep on pressing on. The law of the Lord is perfect, David said. It's something that changes us, so we need to seek after it. What are some things that are most helpful? I've got a list of things I think are helpful in getting into the Word and doing it consistently. Earlier, you guys gave me a bunch of hindrances, from being busy to not scheduling it and letting other problems crowd it out. But what are some things that you have found helpful in being in the Word on a regular basis? Anybody? Lee?
Reading a psalm a day.
Reading a psalm a day, okay. So you do that apart from your reading through the Bible plan. You just take a psalm. Do you just go in order through?
I have been, yeah.
It's okay.
It's easiest to do that.
Right. Okay.
And go down that list. So sometimes it's in order, sometimes it's going down the list that I have.
Okay. So reading a psalm helps. Yes, Pam?
And I think just having this in the word or any guideline that you
Yeah, having a plan. Absolutely. That's great. Mike?
Having an accountability buddy or partner.
Okay.
So you can check each other out, see if you're keeping up, what you're learning, if you're not keeping up, why you aren't keeping up.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that Dave Smith, he has with his uncle, every morning they email each other. They have a portion they're reading through together. They read through it. Then they email each other what they got out of it or what questions they have, and they discuss back and forth by email on it. But that's keeping accountable, and that's a really cool way of doing that. All right, what other things have you found really helpful? Okay.
Something that is we just read together.
Reading it together with somebody else?
Yeah.
That's good. Having a particular time when you read is one of the most helpful things, I think. For me, I like to do my reading through the Bible reading first thing in the morning. I get some coffee and I get my scripture out and I read it. And I have to sometimes battle against that desire to go ahead and look at my email and look at the news and browse what's going on in the world, particularly when interesting things are going on. I find myself looking at that first thing in the morning, and that crowds out some of that time for reading. And that's something to fight against, to say, no, I'm going to be in the Word first. And the rest of the world can wait. It will still be there, but I need to be in the Word first. So having a particular time. I think morning is the best time, unless you just have some kind of crazy work schedule where morning is very tough because of how early you get up. But it is the best time because you can focus on the Word at the beginning of the day and get your heart set on the Lord for the rest of the day. And ask Him to help you to keep that focus. Now, some people really struggle in the morning with staying awake. I know when I was younger, it was very hard for me to stay awake in the morning. So I would stand up to read, or I would read out loud, or I would walk down the hallway. I remember doing this in college, walking down the hallway, pacing back and forth, reading my Bible, so I could be like alert enough between work and school and being a young person that can't wake up for some reason. But having a particular time. Does somebody else have a particular time that works better for you? Maybe you're the night guy or lady, and reading late at night helps you. Anybody like that? Okay. Okay. Well, that's great. Well, that's good. So you have to get up early for work, so you just read something short in the morning, and then after dinner, before you get busy with everything else, do other reading. That's great. It's just a matter of making a priority to say, today this needs to be done, and I'm going to do it here. And if I can't do it here, well, I'm going to figure out how I can get it done on another day. Now, the plan that we have in Anchored in the Word this year has built-in days for makeup. And that's not to say, hey, once a week you don't have to read the Bible. That's to say, if you one day you don't finish the reading, well, you can pick it up and finish without getting really behind in the plan. Because I think that's one thing that's very discouraging. If you're doing well reading, and then you kind of get some days where you get off track, and if you're reading one of those plans where you got 3 or 4 chapters every day, and you miss 3 days, all of a sudden you've got a big chunk of scripture to pick back up. And so I like this plan, how it balances that out with some days off, not so you don't read the Bible, but so you can make up, or if there's something you really want to read that's not part of the plan, well, you can read it on those days. One thing that I was encouraged to do as a teenager, which you just mentioned, Virginia, reading a proverb a day, all right, because there's 31 Proverbs, so you can always just pick up whatever day of the month it is, and you can read that proverb for some practical wisdom for the day. So those are great, great ideas. I'm told that the average person in the United States watches over 70 hours of TV in a period of about 2 weeks. So 30 to 35 hours of TV in a week. So I don't know. I don't know how they figure that out. It's not that way in our house. I don't know if it is in yours or not. But in 15 minutes a day, you can read through the Bible in a year's time. So if we're too busy to do it, and it's we're just too busy. My wife this afternoon went through, I think, tomorrow's Bible reading because you wanted to get ahead. And you're like, man, that was quick. Like, where did that go? It seemed to go by quickly. It's really not a lot to invest in. So there's no reason not to do it. It comes down to a matter of discipline and motivation. So having a set time, recognizing the value of it, following a plan. If you have a hard time paying attention, I always find reading out loud helps me to pay attention better. And do that. And then as you read, there's a million things to look for as you're reading. But if you just focus on saying, well, I want to get at least one verse or one phrase or one idea out of this reading today that I can take with me and think about throughout the day. So I'm going to read it looking for, Lord, what is there in here for me today? And look for that. Look for one thing that you can take and meditate on. Because the benefit of doing your Bible reading is not just so you can check it off the list and say, aha, I have faithfully completed all my Bible reading this week. The point is to draw daily nourishment from God, daily instruction from God. So you want to be looking for things that you can think about, that you could meditate on, that you could memorize even. Psalm 119 verse number 9 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So hiding the word in your heart means that as you're reading it and thinking about it, you're taking something with you. And you're holding on to it. I hope when you hear sermons here, whether it's Pastor Allen or me or somebody else, that you can hear something from the Word and you can look for something that you can take with you. That's why we give the handout on Sunday morning with the notes and the questions, as we're trying to encourage you to think about what you can take with you to think about and pray about throughout the week as you leave here. To let God's truth sink into your heart. The more you do that on a daily basis with your reading, the more you're eager to get into it the next time. Because if you got something yesterday that helped you, you want to get something today that will help you. If you're praying and asking God to guide you or strengthen you or correct you or teach you from His Word and He shows you something, man, that just fuels the flame. To go and do it again tomorrow. So those are things that are just very simple, but it really just comes down to making a time and pushing other things out of the way. And if other things interfere, finding a new time, interfere with something else. If something interferes with your Bible reading time, let your Bible reading time interfere with time for something else. And have a place for it, because it's so important. The memory verses that we have each week, those are verses that I hope can help you to hear God's word. Our verse this week is, I don't know where it went. It's Psalm 37:5, I believe. So I'm going to turn to it real quick. Psalm 37:5. It says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And the value of memorizing a verse like this is that it makes you think about what the verse says, and hopefully it makes you think about what it means for you. What does it mean for you that you need to commit your way to the Lord? What things are there that you need to commit to the Lord? Directions or decisions that you need to trust in Him. So taking a verse like this and memorizing it not only will be a comfort to you later, but it'll be a help to you right now as you go through the week trying to hide these words in your heart, taking the time to consider them, meditating on the Word. Anybody else have some things that have helped you in reading the Bible that you want to share? I don't want to just ramble on about them all night. Yes. The videos that overview each book. Yeah.
Yep. Those have been really, really good. There's also a pastor down in Florida that you can find his stuff on YouTube as well. It's 1 hour, one book. It's usually, he does a small class, going through. Sometimes it's two, sometimes there's a part one and a part two, so technically it's 2 hours. But,
yeah. Sure.
Looking for, and especially in those Old Testament books where if you go it without a roadmap, knowing that where you're going in, you can get a little lost and discouraged if you're not pushing through. But with those, they give you an overview. They say, this is what's going to happen. This is where, this is how it's laid out. And it really helps you make sense of what's in there.
Amen. Sure, those introductions for each book are in the Anchored in the Word guide, and then there's links to the videos, and I think that is really helpful. I'm glad you brought that up, Lee, because they are, yeah. So if you get the big picture of the book in just a couple minutes, man, it really helps you as you dig into it to understand it a lot more. I know I've done that with just some secular books, like classic books, where I tried to read on my own, and I'm like, I have no idea what in the world is going on here. And then I read like a summary of it that made a whole lot of sense, and then I could go back to the big book and be like, oh, now it's all making a lot more sense. And I know that's the same way it is with Scripture. If there's a whole lot happening that you're not really sure what's going on, getting just the simple summary of it would be really, really helpful. I want to close tonight with these verses from Jesus in Matthew 7. Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, in this little story Jesus tells, there's one key difference. There's two men. They both build a house. And one builds it on the rock, one builds it on the sand. But Jesus says the difference there in the illustration he's making is that one hears and does it. That's the guy on the rock. And one hears and doesn't do it. That's the guy in the sand. So hearing the word is just part of this. We're wanting to get more knowledge about God. We want to understand the books of the Bible more. We want to be able to make sense of Leviticus and Numbers and Micah and all of these little books in the Scripture. We want to have an understanding. But if our goal is just to hear, then we're missing the whole point. The point of getting into the Scripture every day is not so you can raise your hand and say, I did it this week. It's not so you can check it off. It's so you can do what Christ tells you to do. And if you approach the Word with this desire to hear and do, and you'll get a lot more out of your reading, and it'll make a great impact on your life. Well, let's pray that God would help us to do that in this coming year. Father, we thank you for giving us your Word, an amazing book that we have that we can hold in our hands and know that these are your words speaking to us. God, we do pray that you might help us to encourage one another so that we could keep our eyes on you, keep our eyes on hearing your Word, so that we can meditate on it, so we can study it, so that we can do it. Lord, not that we'd be puffed up with our knowledge of the Bible, but we'd be transformed by our knowledge of you. Or that you would use your Word in our hearts this year to make us more like Christ, to strengthen us to do your will, to empower us, Lord, to be your witnesses. God, we pray that you might take your Word and use it in our hearts this year. I pray for our church that's committing to read in your Word and be consistent day by day, drawing strength and wisdom and guidance from you. I pray you'd help us to set aside the time, to schedule it, to not let anything interfere with it. And if it gets interfered with, Lord, I pray you'd help us to make up for it by finding that time to hear from you and allow your Word to shape our lives for your glory. And Lord, we pray for your help in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, well, thank you for coming out tonight. I pray this would be just another little pep talk to encourage you to get into the Scriptures and really let the Scriptures get into you and change you this year. So may the Lord bless you this week, and Lord willing, we will see you next Lord's Day.